Last week I committed us to exploring in our worship a modern creed, not as an indulgence in irrelevant theology, but to help us explore what it is that we really believe or don't. Because what we believe, we actually take out into the world. What we believe should impact on how we live our daily lives. And what we believe in terms of our Christian faith shouldn't be a trinket box that we open on Sunday morning and put away after Sunday lunch. In short, if we are claiming to be followers of Christ, which is highly unfashionable at the moment in our society, if we're claiming to be followers of Christ, but don't give serious thought to what we believe or how it connects with everyday life, then in truth, I have no idea what we're doing here this morning. So we're exploring faith. Not faith as decreed and defined by bishops and ancients from many centuries ago, but as gently suggested by a lady called Marjorie McCaskill, a C of S minister and university chaplain. She's not claiming that her creed has ultimate ecclesiastical authority. She's just saying, this makes sense to me. It helps me to live my faith. It helps me to try to serve Christ's kingdom. Does it make sense for you? And I want us to look at part of that creed today, but we are happily interrupted by the finest of guests, by Sally and by Pansy. And we would be rude in the extreme and stupid to boot if we didn't take the opportunity that they provide to understand more of Christian Aid's work in the world and our part in that. But I still want to just take a couple of minutes, just a few, to invite you to consider this second part of our modern creed. All of it is printed in our May magazine, and this portion is printed at the bottom of the service sheet. It says, I believe in him as a God of love, who loves his creation unconditionally and totally. Man and woman made in his image, who are completely free to choose to love him or deny him. And because those words are so powerful and potent, and because God gives us brains to put to work, all I'm going to do this morning is read out each phrase of that part of the creed and make a comment or ask a question. That's it. I believe in him as a God of love, who loves his creation unconditionally. I don't know how you understand unconditional, but to me it means without limit, no small type, no get-out clause, no what-ifs. Unconditional means that whatever I do with my life, wise or foolish, healing or destructive, God-denying or God-affirming, God will never cease loving me. And that's true for every one of us here today and for those who aren't here today. And I can accept that truth intellectually, but I struggle with it emotionally, personally. I got an email last week from an American friend. In fact, I'm her godfather. Her father was killed after a shooting incident in Kenya where he worked for the Foreign Office. And she mentions casually in a chattering email that she and her mother hadn't spoken for years. And I wondered what pain, what rejection or misunderstanding, hardness of heart or bitterness of actions, what tears and regrets are contained in that sentence for both mother and daughter. Who's to blame? How did it happen? I don't know. All I know is that in that family scenario, unconditional love seems to have taken a hike. Yet perhaps if we're honest, we can imagine situations where unconditional love in our life might kind of draw a line and say, I can go no further. Might be family tensions, might be disagreements at work, might be a friendship betrayed. All I'm saying is that we have a gospel to proclaim, and we don't have a gospel worth proclaiming. We don't have a God worthy of our worship unless it's true that God's love is unconditional. And as I've said earlier, I believe that with my head, and I struggle with it emotionally. I suspect I'm not the only person to struggle with that. but it's a struggle which I hope God wins. That's important. And then the next bit of the creed says, I believe that man and woman are made in his image. Or to put it another way, if you look at it carefully and honestly, Marjorie McCaskill is saying that the diversity and complexity and beauty of masculinity and femininity is all found in God, because we are all made in his, in her image. Our genders are equally gathered up and expressed in the very nature and character of our God. And that means that no gender, no sexual orientation can claim God for their own, nor deny God to others. And the church still has an awful long way to go in grasping the consequences of that truth. And then Marjorie goes on and she says, we, humans, are completely free to choose to love him or deny him. In our country, in our culture, some people used to believe that breaking a mirror or putting new shoes on a dinner table or sending someone red and white flowers were all dangerous, thoughtless, destructive things to do, for they would bring bad fortune to individuals and households. In our country, in our culture, fishermen in certain parts of Scotland believed that if they saw the minister as their boat put out to fish, they would have to return to port for having seen the dog-collared one. If they insisted on heading out, their nets would remain empty and their vessel would not be safe. And that superstition still functions in certain parts of Scotland. In our country, in our culture, some centuries ago, many Christians believed in a thing called predestination. That our ability to make choices, what we call free will, was in fact an illusion. And God had already decided from the beginning of time who would be saved and who would be damned. That was predestination. And all the supposed choices you made in this life for or against God, for kindness or hurt, for good or for bad, would not and could not change the fact that your eternal fate had already been sealed even before you were in the womb. Predestination, one of the more stupid ideas that theologians with too much time can come up with. That thinking is still alive and well today, but not as predominant as it used to be. And to chase its nonsense away forever, perhaps that's why Marjorie McCaskill says, we humans are completely free to choose to love God or deny him. Faith is not indoctrination. On a bad day, the church can do boredom with first-class honors, but we don't do indoctrination. Faith is not indoctrination. Neither is faith a hand-me-down set of leftover superstitions from a previous generation. Faith is when we look at the beauty and the brokenness of our world, our human capacity to love and to heal and to restore, and our human capacity to destroy and scar and humiliate. And looking at all the evidence, we conclude that the light is stronger than the dark, our desire to love stronger than our ability to destroy. We conclude that the case for God is greater than the case against God, although we understand all too well why the anti-case exists. And so we choose freely to acknowledge the eternal purposes of God and rejoice in his calling card, Jesus of Nazareth. But it is a free choice, one we exercise every day. But if we choose for God, if we choose for Christ, we are choosing for healing and wholeness. And we really have to roll up our sleeves and get stuck in, for faith is not a spectator sport. And so, as the creed says, faith finds new words. And we will find out in a few moments from Pansy how faith ever seeks to find ways to make real on earth the eternal, unconditional love of heaven.